see where we'll start here. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers the man. Good morning, Yonatan Wiesen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers the man, and he writes a very interesting introduction. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hineni mamtir lachem lachem min hashamayim, v'yatzah am v'laktu d'varyam b'yomo. Okay, so this is the instructions, technical, how to gather the man. L'man anasenu hayelech v'tarasim lo. You're going to eat the man so that I can test you, will you follow the Torah? What's that connection? How is eating the man testing their ability to follow the Torah? L'man anasenu hayelech b'torasim lo. Not only that, but this is after Mara. And in Mara, they already had the first test, the midterms. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisau. So they've already been through tests, and they will go through further tests in Har Sinai. So talk about being in college and having a lot of tests. They had a test in Mara, they have a test in Har Sinai. Here they have a test with the man. What makes this test unique? What is the test? The test with Mara, we understand. Paraduma, Dinim, Shabbos, Kibbutz, whatever the mitzvahs were, trying one mitzvah for size. Test of Har Sinai, that's the obvious test. Can you believe in monotheism without trying to humanize God? Can you realize that Hashem doesn't have a vision or an image? It's just a voice. But what's the test of the man? It seems like physical fitness then, physical education. What's the test of the man? So Rashi says, I'm testing mitzvos hatluyos bo. There are actually mitzvos that govern the man. Shele yasu mimenu, you shouldn't leave over the man. Lo yetzu b'shabbos lilkot, shouldn't go out on Shabbos. Ah, I guess they failed that one. Not going out on Shabbos to collect the man. Now I got a 50% passing grade. Why is there a test about the man? Okay, so we know what the test was, but why was there another test? The answer is, and I'm making this obviously, I'm blowing it out of proportion, but I'm trying to highlight the point, is Hashem is teaching them not to split between the world of ritual and mitzvos and Torah study, and then there's this other world called life and eating and body and gashmius. I think the terms that, if I could wave a magic wand and have one thing accomplished, I want a lot of magic wands. If I could take one magic wand, I would take the following phraseology out of people's minds, gashmius and ruchnius. Because it's just such a lazy definition. It creates such schizophrenia. Obviously, there are parts of our life, but look at it as a cursor, not as compartments. There's parts of your life where you're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu more spiritually. There's parts where you're standing where there's a little more of a physical component. Because it's Gashmius Ruchnius thing. I know why it was said 50 years ago. But in our world, it becomes too much compartmentalizing, too much schizophrenia, and too splitting. So a Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling you, when you're eating, you're standing in front of me also. And there are mitzvahs that will govern it, of course, in the future. It won't be mitzvahs about not collecting on Shabbos. It won't be mitzvahs about not collecting too much. But there are, if not mitzvahs, at least midos. Chazal say that when we had the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach was mechaper. We know the Beis HaMikdash, Shulchan HaShulad, the mechaper. And that's why you see a little bit later, we're not going to talk about it that extensively, but essentially Hashem is upset with them for asking about meat that they don't need when they're full already, overeating, eating foods that aren't appropriate, eating in a way that's undignified, eating in a way without brachos, obviously. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching them that mitzvahs apply not just to food, but mitzvahs apply to every aspect of life, not just paraduma, kibbutz avayim, Shabbos, and even if they're not mitzvahs, moral behavior, religious behavior. Okay, you can ask yourself, are there mitzvahs that apply outside of mitzvahs? Maybe not. But is it Ratzon Hashem that applies outside of mitzvahs and midos that reflect who you should become that apply across the globe? Yes. So this is the test of the man. I'm giving you mitzvahs about the man. They're obviously temporary, fleeting mitzvahs. They're not going to outlast the man, not to collect more man than you have to, not to collect Rosh Shabbos. But they're proto-mitzvahs, they're prototype mitzvahs to teach us that when we eat, and in all areas of life, it's still a religious moment. How we navigate that religious moment is a little bit different. Okay. Now, Hashem tells them that on Shabbos, the food you collect on Friday will become double. V'haya b'yom ha'shishi, v'echinu es asher yaviu v'haya mishnah. It's a very awkward conjugation. They will prepare what they bring and will turn out v'haya mishnah. It'll be double. It should just be v'haya b'yom ha'shishi v'liktu mishnah. They'll collect double. So Rashi interprets that phrase, asher yaviu v'haya mishnah, that when they collected in the field, they collected the same amount. So if you collected 1 pound of man for your family every day, you came back on Friday with 1 pound of man. When you walked into your home, the 1 pound became 2 pounds. So the nais was not how much fell, but the nais was how much you collected and how it expanded or extended to feed the family, not just on Friday, but on Shabbos. why is this happening? Why does Hashem perform the miracle this way? It's a backwards way to perform the miracle. The miracle should be you walk outside and all of a sudden there's more man than yesterday. If you were charged with making, you were like the director of the miracle, the Hollywood director of the miracle. That's how we imagine it, right? On Friday, double the man fell. You took double barrels and you collected them. Here you collected the same amount. So obviously it makes it easier, more elegant. You don't have to work that hard. But it's more than that. What's the scene of the miracle? Because the scene of the miracle is iconic. It will teach us where Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence is. And the scene of the miracle is not the field or the desert dunes. The scene of the miracle is the home. And this is the first miracle that takes place in a Jewish home. And people are slaves. They didn't have homes. And we have to teach them about so much of life and religion and society. We're teaching slaves about family. And we're teaching slaves about family on Shabbos. It's not just teaching. And that's why when you think about all the many, many elements of what Shabbos has meant, there are many, many, don't get it wrong, because Shabbos is such an important day, and in the modern world it's starting to fall apart. Not in Shmir Shabbos, that we do well, but in experience of Shabbos, that we don't do so well. We know to keep Shabbos great. We have 1,000 different machines and Shabbos clocks and food, but what is Shabbos meant to be? What attitude? What are you trying to accomplish? That we don't get so right. We have to really, people should invest in Shabbos. What do you hope to accomplish with Shabbos? The answer shouldn't be conquer Rome. The answer shouldn't be conquer Shas. The answer should be like, how can I choreograph a Shabbos that will give me spiritual thought, reading things you don't get a chance to read, learning things you don't get a chance to read, thinking about things, sleeping, eating. It has to be a kaleidoscope of different experiences. So the first nace in the Midbar that happened to Am Yisrael in a more domestic way, not these grandstand, highfalutin miracles like Kriyas Yamsuf, but the first nace that happened not in the field, but in the home. They walked inside, and all of a sudden, the home is a place where Hashem exists, again, to avoid that compartmentalization. Hashem's miracles don't just occur in the Yam Suf, don't just occur in Mitzrayim, don't just occur in some well in Mara, but they occur in your kitchen. Hashem's presence is felt in your kitchen. One last quick Rashi. Rashi, Moshe says, why are you, very also interesting phrase, why are you, Moshe says in Pasuk Ches, Bishmo Hashem es teluno sechem, asher atem malinim alav. It's a double phrase. He hears your complaints that you are malinim alav. So I would say that you're complaining. Just stop complaining. Says it twice. Rashi says, no. You are causing other people to complain. And how do you cause other people to complain? They say one way is to be a rabble rouser. But another way it sounds like from Rashi is that complaining is contagious. Now when one person complains, it leads to other people. It's almost reciprocal, especially when you're in a relationship. Oh, you think you have a bet, I have a bet. We don't say it like that. But complaints generally are sympathy solicitations. Okay, it's a hard thing for someone to say with a lisp. Complaints are sympathy solicitations. When you complain, you basically want people to recognize what you're going through. You're looking for people to respond. First of all, that means when you hear a complaint, the chesed is to respond and to give that person a sense you understand what they're going through. But from your standpoint, the answer is don't complain, because it's just a cheap way to get sympathy. Now, it's easier said than done, but try not to be a complainer, a chronic complainer. Okay, try to deal with whatever pressure you face, either by just internalizing it and dealing with it and carrying it, or by expressing it, but not in a tone of complaint. Because a tone of complaint is offensive to people. A tone of complaint becomes contagious. It elicits reciprocal complaints. So learn not to have that tone. A, don't feel that you have to share your frustrations all the time. Just be able to handle it, which we say like a man. That's not PC to say, but to handle it like an emotionally stable human being in 2023. But also, if you have to share it in a way that's not, it's calm, share it in a way that's balanced, share it in a way, this is what I'm going through, I want to share my day with you, rather than, oh my goodness, you can't imagine, this is so hard with when your voice changes, and your tone changes, and you tend to exaggerate, and, you know, today was terrible, I got into 5 car accidents. When we complain, because we want sympathy, we tend to exaggerate the experiences we've had, because only when we bloat them can we really solicit sympathy. Okay, so 3 very quick, interesting Rashis. One Rashi, I forgot, remind me, what was the first Rashi we talked about? What?
The test.
Okay, Hashem's present at the dining room table. Hashem is present in the kitchen. And Hashem doesn't want complainers. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.